Imagine this, KGB agents kidnapping Alaskans and forcing them to teach English to spies, or Cuban agents abducting Floridians and stealing their identities. It seems ludicrous, but that's essentially what happened in Japan in the 1970s and 80s. At least 13 Japanese civilians were kidnapped by North Korean agents. 8 died in captivity. At least that's what the North Koreans said during reconciliation talks with Japan 2 weeks ago. This weekend, Japanese investigators are in North Korea trying to find out more about the kidnappings. And joining us now from Tokyo to talk about this is Doug Strzok of The Washington Post. Doug, take us back to an earlier stage in this episode when families of the abducted Japanese suspected that there were kidnappings by North Koreans. That must have seemed preposterous. What made them think that?
It was a ludicrous theory, and in fact, it was so far-fetched that it took nearly 25 years for it to really be believed. But on the northern seacoast of Japan in the 70s and 80s, there were always dark rumors about North Korean agents coming and snatching people. It was fed by little pieces of evidence, cigarette wrappers that had Korean writing on it, the strange boat that was bobbing in harbor. And gradually through the years, there were more accounts that led credibility to this bizarre theory. There was a couple who were walking on the beach when some men threw bags over their head and started dragging them off to a waiting boat when a dog came along barking and saved them. Then there started to be a few defectors out of North Korea who said, indeed, there were Japanese who had been kidnapped, who were being held in that country and being used to teach spies how to get back into both Japan and South Korea. It wasn't until 1997 that the Japanese police finally said, yes, we've got enough evidence that we believe that at least 11 of the various missing persons cases in that area may very well have been kidnapped and taken to North Korea. And those 11 were on a list that Prime Minister Koizumi took when he had his first ever summit meeting in North Korea on September 17th.
Have North Korean officials provided any more detail or a more thorough explanation since that initial revelation?
Well, the initial revelation was shocking in itself. Apparently, North Korean officials also gave to Japanese officials a list of the dates of 8 of these people whom they say are dead. They did not explain exactly how they died, although they said they died from either natural causes or illnesses. But those accounts of deaths are now being disbelieved or at least doubted by some of the family members, perhaps naturally so, particularly if you can concoct a theory that it would be easier for North Korea to say these people are dead than to release them to Japan with the possibility that they may divulge some rather embarrassing accounts of their last 25 years in that Stalinist state.
Is there another explanation that's floating around for these kidnappings, something other than spying?
One of the sources of information about this was a woman who was part of the Japanese Red Army faction who ended up living in Pyongyang since they hijacked a jet in 1970. Earlier this year, she said that she was part of a group that was scouring Europe trying to find Japanese and, in fact, helped kidnap perhaps 3 people from there. And one of the criteria she was given was to find particularly women of marriageable age, indicating that there were probably men there who needed spouses, and that's why some of these women may have been kidnapped.
What have you learned about how those people who were kidnapped lived in North Korea, what their lives were like in captivity?
From some of the accounts of defectors, we know that there was a university set up in North Korea in which at least some of these Japanese were confined and given the status of instructors, taught Japanese language, and taught people so-called Japanization, that is, spies how to act in Japanese society with all its ritual and formality. But we don't know exactly how intense or horrible their confinement was. And it's evidence of how secretive and sealed this society was that you had more than a dozen people who were being held there for more than 20 years, and they were not able, for the most part, to get even a message out to their loved ones, much less escape.
Is it possible that there are more people than the 13 that the North Koreans have identified?
It's not only possible, it's becoming increasingly likely. The Japanese went with a list of 11. The North Koreans said, well, we don't know about one of those, but in addition to the 10 that we do acknowledge abducting, here's another three. The Japanese officials were surprised and a bit embarrassed by that, and they went back to their missing persons cases and said, well, if we have three that we didn't know about, there must be more.
What have you learned about the remaining victims, the victims who have presumably survived? What's their status? Are they going home?
Kim Jong-il, the North Korean leader, has said they are free to go home, at least according to the Japanese accounts. He doesn't talk to the press himself. As yet, the arrangements have not been made. We're talking about five people here. Four of them are couples. One was engaged, they've been married. Another were dating, they've been married. So they presumably have families, have lives in North Korea. And it is, of course, possible that they may elect to continue those lives where they are. But the families in Japan are expecting that they will want to return home and are hoping that this delegation of Japanese officials that is in North Korea this weekend will be able to start making those arrangements.
There's been a lot of discussion about how this might affect the relationship between Japan and Korea, but I'm wondering about the relationship between the Japanese people and their own government and how this might affect that.
Indeed, it's problematic for the Japanese government because this summit that was held September 17th was really a breakthrough in nearly a century of hostility between the Koreans and the Japanese. And the government, and in fact most Japanese, would like to put an end to that chapter. However, there is also a great deal of resentment that the Japanese officials apparently didn't know up until the day that they went to the summit that eight had died. And if that issue is not properly handled, that is, if there isn't sufficient evidence to mollify the families, to show them exactly what happened to their loved ones, and to explain the 25 years of delay in their own government enacting, it could become a serious impediment to the normalization of relations between Japan and Korea.
Doug Struck is a reporter for The Washington Post. He joined us from Tokyo. Thank you, Doug.
My pleasure.